The Gateless Gate, Case 38. A cow passes through a latticed window. The case. Goso said, "For example, it's just like a great cow passing through a latticed window. Her head, horns, and four legs have passed through. Why is it that her tail can't pass through too?" Mumon's commentary. If in regard to this, you're able to turn yourself upside down, attain one single eye and utter a turning word, you will be able to repay the four obligations above and help the living beings in the three realms below. If you're still unable to do this, reflect again on the tail. Then you'll be able to grasp it for the first time. The verse. If it passes through, it will fall into a ditch. If it returns, it will be destroyed. This tiny little tail, what a strange and marvelous thing it is. Hakuin considered this to be one of the difficult koans, the Nanto koans, hard to pass. And it's interesting perhaps to approach it through a story about Hakuin himself, who you may remember from his biography, as a young child was first attracted to Zen because he grew up with a terrible fear of going to hell, being guilty. And he looked to meditation as a way to escape his tormenting anxiety and fears and phobias. And as a result of his, you know, real psychological problems, he threw himself totally into his practice in the pursuit of some kind of breakthrough or realization that would rid him of his fears. And he he threw himself into practice, although he actually seems to have spent very little time studying with particular teachers, often sitting a lot on his own. But in any case, it seemed that his efforts paid off, and one day he had this great realization that just filled him with joy and relief, and feeling that once and for all he had escaped the fears that brought him to practice. And with great enthusiasm, he went back to one of his teachers to, you know, announce his realization. And the teacher sort of looked him up and down and said, "Oh, very good, but let me ask you, what about that old koan about the dog and Buddha nature? What do you make of that?" And Hakuin said something to the effect of, "Nobody can lay a hand on that ever again." And the teacher reached out, grabbed him by the nose, gave it a twist, and said, "I think I've got a pretty good grasp of it right now." And Hakuin was in terrible pain and shocked and didn't believe that he didn't know what to do in that circumstance. And he went off feeling very deflated. but unfortunately took it to mean that, well, he just had to go and keep practicing until he got an even bigger satori that would be impervious to that kind of trip. Now, I would like to suggest that eventually Hakuin's nose, which got pulled by his teacher, migrated to the rear end of the buffalo in this story. Because the buffalo, in this translation, this is the Yamada Roshi commentary, where he translates it as a cow. A lot of other translations say a buffalo. And the buffalo is also the ox of the ox herding pictures. It's all the same animal, basically. An animal that is used to symbolize our essential nature. And the picture we're given, it's not easy to visualize, but the idea is that somehow this buffalo or cow is leaping through a window. And they make, it's a point of saying it's a lattice window, right? And a lattice window is something that is divided into lots of tiny grids, right? Lots of squares. I would think is, you know, for us, it sort of defines a Cartesian grid, right? It's a metaphor for things, a space being divided up into little boxes with lots of little separations and boundaries, right? So you've got this picture of the buffalo passing through the grid, passing through this symbol of differentiation, oneness, or in the buffalo, passing through differentiations. And it can almost entirely get through, but not quite. There's something left over. There are lots of ways that we can think about that leftover. See, the picture of passing through, in one sense, is like a picture of transcendence. You go beyond differentiation. The buffalo passes through the lattice, demonstrating that the lattice is in fact empty. That's why it can pass through, right? That there is no obstacle. That everything that you think of as a barrier, as images of separation or differentiation, everything that's an obstacle to oneness or our essential nature is actually empty. And Koan will say, that'll take you very far, but only so far. That you can see everything as empty and approach your life from that perspective, but something will get stuck. Now, in the case of Hakuin, what you can sort of say is that he was desperate to cultivate these transcendent experiences, some kind of experiences that would take him into a realm where he would be impervious to his anxiety. And he could almost do it. And that's one of the great traps of practice, that you can cultivate special states which for a time, and maybe even most of the time, will allow you to feel that you're risen above your problems or the suffering of the world or your dependency or your mortality. But it's like the koan of the 100-foot pole. You can go way up into the air, but when you're up there, you're not of much use to anybody. And probably one way or another, you're going to have to come down. In Mumon's commentary, he says, if you're able to see into this koan, you will be able to repay your four obligations above and help the living beings of the three realms below to see through the fantasy of final transcendence allows you to function. You can't repay your obligations or save beings from the top of a pole. In order to do any of those things, you have to come down. Hakuin eventually, after many, many satori's and relapses, finally got the idea that his real insight was to serve others, to teach, to stop being preoccupied with his own personal state and to simply throw himself into helping others. Now, if you want to think about what does it mean to see the self as empty or really get over yourself, it is this bodhisattva's activity of functioning in the service of others rather than being preoccupied with your own inner state of consciousness. Mumon's verse says, if it passes through, it will fall into a ditch. If the buffalo went through completely, if it completely transcended the world, it would be in the ditch of emptiness. It would be stuck on the top of the 100-foot pole. It would be lost in this kind of solipsistic emptiness and is of no use to anybody. If it returns, it'll be destroyed. Returns means if you abandon emptiness and just go back to the world of differentiation, you're stuck in ordinary suffering again. So there has to be something that's the bridge. And here the little tale is, it's how the absolute manifests in the midst of our ordinary life. It's the way Joko said, find the absolute in your anxiety, in your anger, in your resistance. Right? Don't find the absolute in getting blissed out on your cushion. Find the absolute by having no separation with your own tension and resistance to the moment. Right? Find it there. What we what we need to do, as I was saying in the opening remarks this morning, is not practice in a way where we're in the pursuit of some particular state while we're sitting and getting into this endless not there yet mode of no matter how much we manage to sit in a good state, inevitably something happens to interrupt it, or when we get off the cushion something interrupts it, and then we feel like we're always a day late and a dollar short, never ever quite attaining the thing we're trying to do. See, when we're in that mode, we see our mind as it is and our life as it is as an obstacle. We feel like it's the tail that's getting stuck is a problem, right? But Mumon says that little tail is marvelous. See, being stuck is not the problem. It is the anchor into real life. We're not trying to attain a state of transcendence. And I think that's something that's distinctive about Zen, is that we don't have a model of the teacher who is like a guru, has transcended the ego or suffering once and for all and exists permanently at a higher plane, and that our connection to the perfect master gives us a little chance to touch the hem of transcendent reality, right? Zen doesn't see things that way or promise that. Certainly doesn't see the teacher that way. Rather, we're trying to see that all these things that we come to practice to escape, the way Hakum was trying to escape his phobias, are not obstacles. They are actually life itself. They are that's where the tail is coming through. Right? We have to be able to take life whole, not try to figure out how to once and for all get beyond it. And so when when Hakuin describes this as a particularly difficult koan, it's not difficult in the sense of what do you have to do to pass it as a koan, you know, one way or another in these things. Of course, you have to become the buffalo. You have to merge with the imageries of these things. But the hard part is the really letting go of that fantasy of once and for all passing through, of once and for all transcendent, to see the place of stuckness as simultaneously the place of our essential nature. That's the hard part.